flows through your imagination about our church. Close your eyes and let your mind create an inner vision. Fill in colors. Consider the dimensions and all that surrounds the structures of your picture. What do you see? Does your picture fit with the description people give about our church? That little brown church at the end of the runway? The one with the cemetery and thou shalt not park signs? You can open your eyes. The beauty of the imagination is that we can create pictures that have meaning and depth because they include more than what is clearly visible. Our picture will be different from those who have not joined themselves to our church, but have always wanted to come inside and take a look. Ours may be more vibrant, our imagination that is, may be more vibrant in detail because of how the river of God's presence has flowed through our lives and refreshed us over and over again. And yet we may miss seeing what others see because our imaginations have been religiously formed without a strong relationship to the rivers that flow beneath us and all around us. What seems inconsequential to us is of great importance to others. The waters of creation here at the edge of Patricia Bay. Last week, I biked to my study and saw a new sign on the corner of Willingdon and West Saanich. A wooden sign now stands there to mark the restoration of 1010 Creek. It has two salmon done in indigenous art style, along with the words 1010 Creek. Naturally, it got me wondering about the significance of this work. Kelsett, or Ray Creek, runs across the Saanich Peninsula and through the airport, through Sydney, and this municipality of North Saanich. The creeks flow around us. Kelsett, along with the connected 1010 Creek, were traditionally used to portage through airport lands, between villages, and to access Kelsett, which is Bazan Bay, and the sea, and the southern Gulf Islands beyond. According to Floyd Underwood, I do this, I put two words together, Underwood and, oh man, according to Floyd of the Sayout Nation, who got this information from Sachem Nation elders, the site at Bazan Bay called Kelsett was of great significance in that it provided a gathering site for the camas, as well as the purple sea urchin and the green sea urchin. This was also a traditional site for greeting and celebrating visits from neighboring tribes. From this site, our peoples also launched their canoes to travel to the various Gulf Island sites to gather fresh seagull eggs. This area was used primarily as a gathering and launching area during the spring and summer months. The site enabled a safe launch area for our peoples to carry on trade and cultural relations with other Coast Salish tribes and villages in Canada and the United States. Because of the creation of the airport in the 1940s, the Wasanic people have not been able to access airport lands, to collect camas, to portage, or engage in cultural practices. Further, in 2016, Ray Creek Pond was classified as Class 1, or high priority contaminated site. Sediment samples revealed high levels of cadmium and zinc, chromium and lead from the industrial activity at the airport over the last 75 years, which have impacted the cutthroat trout and coho salmon that spawn here. Once it was classified as a priority site, Transport Canada and the Town of Sydney agreed to remediate the creek and the pond. And as part of this remediation work, the Wasanic Leadership Council made sure that Wasanic interests were considered. The Wasanic Leadership Council hired a total of 9 community members to be present on site as cultural workers and environmental monitors. All this happened without much of our involvement. And yet the waters flow around us and beneath us, just as Ezekiel imagined in his vision of the temple. It is remarkable how far out to sea our religious imagination has gone. We do not readily see the relationship between our sacred worship and the creeks where fish are meant to run, and the banks of rivers which are to be fertile enough to grow camas and gerry oaks. Yahweh commanded Ezekiel in chapter 43:10, "As for you, mortal, describe the temple to the house of Israel, and let them measure the pattern, and let them be ashamed of their iniquities." Yahweh then reveals the vision of the place where he wants his presence to flow from as a sacred river that brings abundance and vitality to all of creation. In the vision, God brought Ezekiel back to the entrance of the temple, where there the water was flowing from below the entryway of the temple toward the east, and the water was flowing down from below the south side of the temple, south of the altar. God showed Ezekiel what she imagined, that wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish once these waters reach there. It will become fresh, and everything will live where the river goes. People will stand fishing beside the sea. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of great many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh, for they are to be left for salt. On the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit from every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. The priestly creation story of Genesis 1 is echoed here. Priestly writers were seeking to build in our minds a fresh vision of the world as God's creation. The creation story is also echoed in Exodus 25 through 40, where the first thing God instructs the people to make in their freedom is the tabernacle, a forerunner to the temple. But the first thing they make instead is a golden calf, an idol created through demeaning work, work God did not instruct them to take on. The story of Israel's delusional work throws into high relief the details of the demanding but edifying work of envisioning the world anew. Ezekiel's vision echoes the tabernacle narrative of Exodus. He brings forth an architectural vision for the rebuilding of the Jerusalem temple after its destruction by Nebuchadnezzar in 585 BCE. The biblical narrative doesn't usually appeal to such visual imagination, which shows just how vital this depiction is to stirring up the religious imagination, where God's vision for creation is meant to be built and sustained. Ezekiel's vision will then inspire another prophet to begin building the Jerusalem temple. 18 years after Cyrus, the Persian emperor, allowed the Babylonian exiles to return to Jerusalem, the prophet Haggai will get a crew together to rebuild it. The mystic prophet Ezekiel depicts in detail an alternative reality where God can dwell in the midst of the people forever. The stream of fresh water issues from the temple flowing east, sweetening the Dead Sea, now lined with fishermen and evergreen fruit trees. Traditional cultures have often viewed verbal or graphic depictions of sacred space as powerful resources for the religious imagination. A labyrinth, a mandala, they both evoke the experience of entering an alternative world. The architectural form points to spiritual realities. The forms, the structures, the colors and shapes of the building are integrated with and sustained by the physical things of this world. The river of God flows from this temple, this church, this sacred place, and the presence of the life-bringing Creator is meant to saturate the earth wherever it flows, making it fertile and abundant. The alternative reality Ezekiel imagines is also echoed over and over again throughout our sacred scriptures. We see it in many psalms. Those who follow God's instructions, laboring for this vision and not for golden idols, will be like trees planted by streams of water in Psalm 1. Psalm 46 says, There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And we recited this from Psalm 65 today. You, O God in Zion, visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. Jesus and John, the visionary of Revelation 22, are evoking this river, this holistic understanding of the spiritual and the physical. Pilgrims, believers following God's instructions will experience a river flowing from their hearts as a sign of God's eternal presence, meant to flow and renew creation wherever they set their feet. The songs and hymns of the church tend to lead us to over-spiritualize and underestimate what the Creator has meant by flowing through us with life-giving sweet water. Peace is flowing like a river is a chorus that is like this kind of, has this sort of sentiment, doesn't necessarily at all lead us to think of a real river and of creation. And then there's Graham Kendrick's song, Flow, River, Flow, fill this land with the Father's glory, mostly making us think that we must speak truth rather than there is a river that comes from us that connects us to creation that we are to sustain and to renew. We see then that from Genesis to Exodus, Ezekiel, the Psalms, and Jesus and John, a stream flows, meant to renew our religious imagination. The peace that flows like a river in us must flow outwards. Today we celebrate the physical earthy work being done by so many people in North Saanich and need to join in the work as well. Let us do all we can to support and encourage Pocachin as they rebuild the shoreline of Coles Bay and imagine a renewed clam garden. Let us do all we can to support and encourage the work needed to see the salmon run through 1010 Creek this year. Maybe not. I didn't see water. Wouldn't it be marvelous, though, to see the salmon swarm by the thousands in Patricia Bay? I don't know. Now, we, right out here, are not on anyone's map. When I was looking at this information about the restoration of 1010 Creek, there is, and I'll put this map out there, there's this huge area of blue that takes into account the whole of the airport and all that I've just mentioned previously, except this little tiny dot called us. We're right out there. And out there, the bay is depicted with a color orange as the gathering place, a food gathering place. We are not on anyone's map. We look like a blank spot on the map of North Saanich, as if there is nothing we were meant to do than be peace-loving people, as if we were not supposed to let the river of God flow from us to make everything around us fertile and abundant. This is not to be. We have promised quite the opposite to God. Every Easter we renew our baptismal promise to strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth. Adding, of course, I will with God's help. We surely need help to do this, to stir our religious imagination and envision ways to support the work of those being done to bring fish and food to our community. I want to close with something that transpired this past week, I believe. Shannon from Headwind Farms had contacted us, and actually I came to discover that it was because Jane and Stuart were talking to them at the North Saanich Farm Market. And Shannon was saying that they needed a place to pickle some beets. They have an overabundance of beets. And so Jane and Stuart said, well, maybe our kitchen, you can use our kitchen, right? Well, we would love for that to happen, but sadly, we need to have it pass inspection to be certified enough to be a place for that to happen. And so maybe there is something to consider on our behalf of what we could do to be offering that kitchen, getting it certified and food safe. Some of you know we've had some conversation about this previously, but there you are. The farmers of Sandown Farms are wondering where they can prepare food, pickle it, and do things like that. The other thing I wonder about, is there anything we are doing that may be contaminating the waters, the water table beneath us? If there is, we are called to ensure that waters are sweet beneath our ground, flowing out to the ocean. The prayer for Psalm 65, found in the Book of Alternative Services, is a great way to wrap up this talk. Let us pray. Lord God, joy marks your presence. Beauty, abundance, and peace are the tokens of your work in all creation. Work also in our lives that we make these signs visible in the work of our church, that the world will see the sacred life of God running through us to bring fruit, life, and healing to all created things around us. Amen.